Penguin Random House Audio presents The Book of Phobias and Manias, A History of Obsession, by Kate Summerscale. Read for you by Stephanie Racine. Introduction. We are all driven by our fears and desires, and sometimes we are enthralled to them. Benjamin Rush, a founding father of the United States, kicked off the craze for naming such fixations in 1786. Until then, the word phobia, which is derived from phobos, the Greek god of panic and terror, had been applied only to symptoms of physical disease, and the word mania, from the Greek for madness, to social fashions. Rush recast both as psychological phenomena. "I shall define phobia to be a fear of an imaginary evil," he wrote, "or an undue fear of a real one." He listed 18 phobias, among them terrors of dirt, ghosts, doctors and rats, and 26 new manias, including gaming mania, military mania, and liberty mania. Rush adopted a lightly comic tone. "Home phobia," he said, "afflicted gentlemen who felt compelled to stop off at the tavern after work." But over the next century, psychiatrists developed a more complex understanding of these traits. They came to see phobias and manias as lurid traces of our evolutionary and personal histories, manifestations both of submerged animal instincts and of desires that we had repressed. A string of manias was added to Rush's list in the early part of the 19th century, and a great flurry of phobias and manias at the century's close. The phobias included irrational fears of public spaces, small spaces, blushing and being buried alive, agoraphobia, claustrophobia, erythrophobia, taphophobia. The manias included compulsions to dance, to wander, to count, and to pluck hair. Choreomania, dromomania, arithmomania, trichotillomania. And we have continued to discover new anxieties. Nomophobia, a fear of being without a mobile phone. Bambacomalophobia, a dread of cotton wool. Cholerophobia, a horror of clowns. Trypophobia, an aversion to clusters of holes. Many have been given more than one name. A fear of flying, for instance, appears in this book as aerophobia, but is also known as aviophobia, pteromahanophobia, and, more straightforwardly, flying phobia. All phobias and manias are cultural creations. The moment at which each was identified or invented marked a change in how we thought about ourselves. A few of those described here are not psychiatric diagnoses at all, being words coined to name prejudice, homophobia, xenophobia, to mock fads or fashions, Beatlemania, tulipomania, or to make a joke, abophobia, hippopotomonstros sesquipedalia phobia, the supposed fears of palindromes and long words. But most of the entries in this volume describe real and sometimes tormenting conditions. Phobias and manias reveal our inner landscapes, what we recoil from or lurch towards, what we can't get out of our heads. Collectively, they are the most common anxiety disorders of our time. "Phobia particularizes anxiety," observes the literary scholar David Trotter, "to the point at which it can be felt and known in its particularity, and thus counteracted or got around. A mania, too, can condense a host of fears and desires. These private obsessions are the madnesses of the sane, perhaps the madnesses that keep us sane by crystallizing our frights and fancies, and allowing us to proceed as if everything else makes sense." To be diagnosed as a phobia, according to the American Psychiatric Association's Diagnostic and Statistical Manual 5, 2013, a fear must be excessive, unreasonable, and have lasted for 6 months or more. And it must have driven the individual to avoid the feared situation or object in a way that interferes with normal functioning. The DSM-5 distinguishes social phobias, which are overwhelming fears of social situations, from specific phobias, which can be divided into five types. Animal phobias, natural environment phobias, fears of heights, for instance, or of water, blood injection and injury phobias, situational phobias, such as entrapment in closed spaces, and other extreme fears, such as a dread of vomiting, choking, or noise. Though specific phobias can be more responsive to treatment than any other anxious conditions, most people don't report them, choosing instead to avoid the objects that they fear. It is thought that only 1 in 8 people with such a phobia seeks help. This makes it difficult to measure their prevalence. But a review in The Lancet Psychiatry in 2018, which synthesized 25 surveys carried out between 1984 and 2014, found that 7.2% of us are likely to experience a specific phobia at some point in our lives. And a survey carried out by the World Health Organization in 2017, using data from 22 countries, came to very similar conclusions. These studies also indicated that specific phobias are much more common in children than adults, that the rates halve among the elderly, and that women are twice as phobic as men. This means that, on average, 1 woman in 10 experiences a specific phobia, and 1 man in 20. National surveys suggest that a further 7% of Americans and 12% of Britons have social phobias. These figures are for phobic disorders, which interfere with everyday life. Many more of us have milder aversions or dreads that we sometimes refer to as phobias. A strong dislike of public speaking, or of visiting the dentist, of the sound of thunder, or the sight of spiders. In the US, more than 70% of people say they have an unreasonable fear. When I began researching this book, I did not think of myself as having any particular phobias, apart perhaps from my teenage dread of blushing and an enduring anxiety about flying. But by the time I'd finished, I had talked myself into almost every one. Some terrors are no sooner imagined than felt. The causes of these conditions are much disputed. Phobias of specific objects, words, or numbers can seem like ancient superstitions, vestiges of pagan beliefs. The American psychologist Granville Stanley Hall, who catalogued 132 phobias in an essay of 1914, observed that some children developed an obsessive fear after having a fright. Shock, he wrote, was a fertile mother of phobias. Sigmund Freud, who analysed phobic symptoms in 2 famous studies of 1909, proposed that a phobia was a suppressed fear displaced onto an external object, both an expression of anxiety and a defence against it. Fleeing from an internal danger is a difficult enterprise, he explained. One can save oneself from an external danger by flight. Evolutionary psychologists argue that many phobias are adaptive. Our fear of heights and snakes are hardwired in our brains to prevent us from falling from heights or being bitten by snakes. Our disgust at rats and slugs protects us from disease. Phobias of this kind may be part of our evolutionary inheritance, biologically prepared fears designed to shield us from external threats. A phobic reaction does feel like an instinctive reflex. On detecting a threatening object or situation, our primitive brains release chemicals to help us fight or flee, and our physical responses, a shudder or a flinch, a wave of heat or nausea, seem to take us over. Evolution may help to explain why women are disproportionately phobic, especially in the years in which they are able to bear children. Their heightened caution protects their offspring as well as themselves. But phobias may also seem more common in women because the social environment is more hostile to them. They have more reasons to be afraid, or because their fears are more often dismissed as irrational. Evolutionary accounts of phobia are based on post hoc reasoning, and they don't account for all.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?